message this morning. It's not per se what we would typically think of as a Yom Kippur message, but I just wanted to mention something. You know, Yom Kippur is, we always try to make it more of a solemn service. Even our procession, we use something nice and slow, and we like to use holy, holy, holy instead of using our kimitzion, which is sort of upbeat. And so we keep it a little bit more solemn, the entire service. And of course, as I said last night, we add a little more liturgy this time. And I'm going to be talking about liturgy this morning just in a minute or two. But I can't imagine that before the destruction of the temple and also with the new believers of Yeshua, how they dealt with Yom Kippur. And it really came to my attention just a few days ago that it just may be that history would show us that it wasn't a solemn time. Because before the creation of the new Judaism after the Council of Yavne, by the way, if you weren't here with us last night, get a copy of the message or go on the website. It should be up by this afternoon, and you can listen to the message sometime during the week because I refer to these things. So this is sort of my part two message here. But I can only imagine that the believers in Messiah Yeshua, and when the temple was, before it was destroyed, the Jewish people, I can only imagine that there was actually a lot of joy at Yom Kippur because this was the day that their sins would be atoned for. When the high priest would bring the blood of the innocent animal into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. And so this was a joyous thing. The solemnness of Yom Kippur, I believe, really happened after the creation of what we know as the New Judaism, where they no longer had the blood atonement, and they ruled that they decided, that the rabbis decided, not God decided, but the rabbis decided that good works and charity and good deeds and all these things and prayer and reading Torah, these would be a substitute that would be allowed to that, so that we could, in a sense, earn our salvation. And so at that time, it got to be a solemn point because, as we read about at Rabbi Ben Zakkai's, even at his death, he wasn't sure if what he did in his life would get him to heaven or hell. Gan Eden or Gehenna. And so, because there is no word that says for sure, other than the blood atonement, what will get us, give us our salvation, it has become a day of solemnness. We had the days of awe for the 10 days, and now we go, we walk in, and we come, and everything is solemn. But Yom Kippur, I believe, was really a joyous time. So as I said a minute ago, every year we have some additional portions of liturgy in our Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur service. So our services are a little bit different during those services compared to our Shabbat services. And like the liturgy that we do even during Shabbat, we only do portions of liturgy. Sometimes, or with some of the liturgy, we only do one or two lines or just a few lines of the liturgy. For those of you that didn't grow up in a Jewish home, in synagogue, there would be sometimes over an hour, 2 hours or more of liturgy at every Shabbat service, just at the regular Shabbat service. But here's the thing, it's not I believe it's not quantity that is the important thing. I believe that we should be concerned with the quality of what we are reading and what we are understanding and what we are praying and what is getting into our heart. It's the quality. What does it say to us? And so if we pick certain little portions here and there of the liturgy, especially of the things that pertain to the messianic portions of liturgy, that we can get a lot from it, and we can have good ideas, and we can get a good feeling just from these few lines that we will read. And besides that, although they will spend that well over an hour, sometimes 2+ hours of liturgy, I would rather hear worship and praise. I would rather sing worship and praise to the Lord. I would rather hear the Word of God. I would rather hear the Word of God in a way that I can apply it into my lives to draw me closer to the Lord. And hear some kind of message or messages from the Word. And if you have that 1 or 2 or 3 hours of liturgy, there's no time to do these other things in our Shabbat service. Oh, we could do it. Our Shabbat service would last till 2 or 3 in the afternoon, but we wouldn't really be attentive. It wouldn't be the same feeling. And so we have chosen, especially in the Messianic movement, to pattern our messages or our services in this way. But even hundreds of years before Yeshua, there were prayers that were common. And so even some of these portions of liturgy we do today, I mean, as an example, we have the Shema today. It's from Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. And we recite the Shema every week. And it's from the Torah. And so we know it existed even in Yeshua's time. Yeshua answered when they asked what's the most important of the commandments. He gave the Shema. And so we have the Amidah that we only read there are 18 benedictions in the Amidah. Actually, there are 19 now. 19 benedictions, but there were, before Messianic Judaism, there were 18 benedictions. And the 19th was added later on, and it was really added against the Messianic Jews to keep them out of the synagogues. And that's a whole other story, but so we have the Amidah, which existed in those days. And with the Amidah, for example, we only do the portions that are what we would consider the messianic portions of the Amidah, and we read them. And so we have Kaddish, we have the Eleinu. And this morning I wanted to talk about these things because this is our Yizkor service, and we will recite Kaddish in remembrance of our loved ones and friends and family that have passed on. And so Kaddish is one of these portions of liturgy. We have the Eleinu. That Eleinu, usually we don't include it in our regular Shabbat services, but I like to include it at one or both or some of our either Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur services. And we have portions of liturgy. And as you see when we put them up here, they're scripture. And they were put together. Sometimes we read a few lines and they're right directly from the scripture. Sometimes we read a portion and it's actually a few pieces of scripture put together to make some liturgy. Micha Mocha is an example. The Vahavta is an example of that. The Shamru V'nei Israel is an example of that. We have the last lines that we read and sing are from Isaiah. The book of Psalms, actually, we can consider a book of liturgy. One of the things that we've always liked over the years in Messianic Judaism is that so many of our songs are based directly on the Psalms, on the words from the Psalms. So when we are singing a lot of the songs, we are singing the Psalms. We are singing God's word that gave David and the other writers these inspirations. And so we had this opportunity, even during our praise and worship, to read these portions that might be even be considered by some liturgy. And yet I know that some people don't come to Shabbat services until after the liturgy is done. I know that. I know some people, they don't have to be there because they know, they time it. Well, you know, the liturgy's finished in about, you know, whatever. Our liturgy probably end-to-end in the beginning is only about 10 minutes and that's it. But people time it and they come in late because, oh, it's just the liturgy. I know that sometimes that's how people think about it. But they don't understand. This is the word of God. These are things that it's corporate praying, it's corporate singing, it's corporate chanting, but it is the word of God. And so by just staying away from it, it's not a good thing. I believe it's not a good thing, you know, for our daily lives. Look at this morning, even Yeshua's teachings are based on the word, are based on the scriptures. Sometimes we can connect them with our liturgy because our liturgy is based on the scriptures, and what Yeshua spoke is what the Father gave him. So it's he used the word of God. And so this morning, let's open up, if you've got your Bible, or we'll look on the screen, and we'll see one of Yeshua's disciples asked, how do we pray, Lord? How do we pray? So let's go to Luke 11, 2, 3, and 4. I can see it's in black, and I can actually read it. Easy. I'll never go back to that white writing again. And so he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And so sometimes people think, well, that's what we're supposed to pray. But no, they said, how should we pray? And so he gave them sort of a little bit of an outline of things that we should pray about and say and speak to the Lord about. So let's say some of the churches that are, they don't really have the Ruach, the Spirit of God, flowing in their churches. You know, they just, you know, things don't really move, and God's not really moving in these congregations. And so they pray what they call this, the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer. And they pray this. This is what they pray. There's no freedom in the prayer, you see. No freedom in the prayer. By the way, in Judaism, there is no freedom in prayer. the only way that the rabbis will pray really is to open the book of Psalms and read through the Psalms. But there's no free flow of how the Spirit's leading me to pray. So I put some of the wording in yellow here because this is not a new prayer. These are not new concepts that Yeshua gave them. But these are words from the Tanakh. These are words from the Torah. These are words from our liturgy. These are words from God's thought, and they are thoughts and concepts that we have in Judaism through God's word. And some of the liturgy that existed back then based on the word or directly from the word. So let's go to the next slide, and we'll just leave this up for a little bit because I wanted to talk about these things. So some of the things that we had in yellow. So here, he opened with Avinu Malkeinu, our Father. And so we know that Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, we sang it this morning. And we know that there are so many references throughout the word of our Father in heaven, our Father and King. And so he opens with addressing our Father and our King. So he addresses his Father right there. And so then, hallowed be thy name. We see this, and I'm going to point out this morning, use that this morning. Actually, it's from Kaddish, and one of the reasons I decided to speak about these things this morning, because we will say Kaddish, but this line is actually from Ezekiel 38:23, and so the Hebrew is Kaddash. The word is sanctified or hallowed. And so when we open with Kaddish, we will open Yid Kadal, Yid Kadash, Shamei Rabbah, magnified and sanctified be his great name. So it's as magnified and hallowed be his great name. And so, hallowed be his name. Thy kingdom come is also in Kaddish. V'yamlich malchutei is one of the lines that we sing. May he establish his kingdom. And so may he establish his kingdom. And so we want his kingdom to come. Just as Yeshua pray that. Thy will be done is also in Kaddish. Oseh shalom b'mromav, hu yaseh shalom aleinu. May he who makes peace in the high heavens make peace upon us. Make peace upon us that his will would be done. And his kingdom will come. Give us our daily bread. The idea here and the concept here is from the Amidah. And this is the portion of Amidah that is the Berachat Shenim. Good years, loosely translated good years. From the Amidah. And it says, bless this year unto us, O Lord our God, together with every kind of produce for our welfare. So give us this day our daily bread. We bless you, God, for the things that you provide us. Yeshua said, forgive us our debts. Again, from the Amidah, Slicha, forgiveness. It's from the portion of the Amidah. Forgive us of our debts. And so it's the sixth benediction. By the way, the last one was from the ninth benediction. This is from the sixth benediction of the benedictions of the Amidah. Blessed are you, pardoner and forgiver. So God, he's the one that forgives us and pardons us. And so he's saying, Lord, our Father, forgive us of our debts. And, you know, personally, I think the Messianic kingdom, we're going to have a lot of liturgic worship. We're going to be worshiping a lot of the Word. We're going to be doing that kind of stuff. I don't know if it's going to be hours and hours and hours of liturgic worship, but I know that it's going to be there. It's not like it's not like it's never going to be said or chanted or spoken again. These are the words of God, the God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, in our services for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we read the benedictions from the Amidah. We read 1, 2, and 3. And so these are the benedictions that we and David read them for Yom Kippur. These are the messianic portions of the Amidah. So the first is Avot, the fathers. The second is Gevarot, the power of God. And the third is Kedushat Elohim, the holiness of God. And in those, they speak of God and raising of the dead, and you are mighty to save, and it brings in the Messiah. These are things, and that's why these are the portions that we read from the benedictions 1, 2, and 3 in the Amidah. So let's go one more scripture, Matthew 6. And it's 5, 7, and 8. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of, even before you ask him. So it doesn't have to be wordy, wordy, wordy. Even when we free flow prayer, it doesn't need to be wordy, wordy, wordy stuff. It could be simple. Sometimes people are intimidated by praying. I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray. Just talk to God and speak to God. He knows what's on your heart. Let it out and just pray. It doesn't have to be some set words. That's the wonderful thing about with the Spirit within you. You just pray what's on your heart, and God knows that heart, and he loves when he hears it coming from your mouth. But it doesn't need to be repetition. You know, my experience growing up in my hometown synagogue, this is how the men, they would open the prayer book, the Siddur, and maybe one of our portions of liturgy that maybe we write 2 or 3 lines, they would open up the Siddur, and it would have 2 pages of that liturgy, 3 pages of that liturgy, and this is how they would pray. And I would listen carefully, and I know they weren't speaking Hebrew. It was almost like a race. Who was going to finish first? Who could finish it of all the men that were there? That's repetitive. That's garble. And it's not speaking in tongues, by the way. But that's what it was. That was the experience. Yeshua said, let's not, and then he says, you know, in the Eastern religions, they have what are the things that they call the mantras. The mantras, and over and over. That's what he's talking about. He says, that's what the heathens do. And they do that in the Eastern religions. That doesn't do anything in a godly way at all. And so he makes sure to tell us, don't be repetitive. It doesn't bring you closer to God. God wants to hear your heart. And he wants to hear your sincerity. And so this is how we should pray. And he gives us good examples of what to include. Thanking God. Asking to forgive our debts. Asking that his kingdom's going to come. These are the things that he would like us to include in our prayers to him. And always is, it's not all about you. It's mostly about him. Let's start out before you got before you pray to God, because you got your wish list. All right, Lord, this is what I really, oh Lord, I ask that you, oh Lord, I ask that you'll do this for me. Oh Lord, I ask that you'll do and heal this person and do these things. That's great. But he wants you to start it out by acknowledging him. Our God, our Father, the one that forgives us of our debts, the one that provides for us, that we start out by acknowledging him. And then you can go into, and Lord, listen, these are the things that are on my heart, and these are the things that we need. One more just little story. You know, and I don't want people to get the idea, you know, sometimes it sounds like I'm Jewish bashing, and I'm not. You know, the reality is, in some of the body of Messiah, or they consider themselves to be the Messiah, body of Messiah, they got the same kind of shtick going on with them. It's there. But this is a little story. When we first started Kol Mashiach, we had our Shabbat services on Friday nights. Friday evenings, not Saturday morning. So when it came to Yom Kippur, what we did was we said, let's have a Erev Yom Kippur service. We'll have a Yom Kippur service and do Kol Nidre. And then the next day, Diane and I, you know, we were free that day. And I said, you know what, Diana, let's go to, you know, to the Chabad. Let's go to their service. And you know why? You've never been to an Orthodox service. Now, when I talk about my childhood, we weren't Orthodox. Our synagogue was an Orthodox synagogue, but we were in a small town, and all of the men that would lead the Shabbat worship, if the rabbi wasn't there, they all were raised Orthodox. They were from the old country, or they were first-generation Americans, and so they would run the service, and it was an Orthodox service. So, in all intents and purposes, our services were always Orthodox services. Anyway, so I said, Diana, let's go. We'll go to Chabad. Let's go to their service. And I think they held it at one of the hotels on the beach at the time before they built their place. And so we went. And of course, we went inside, and they had it set up. You know, they had like a big row of potted plants in the middle, so the women sat on one side and the men sat on the other. And we were there for the service, so I was on one side, and Diana was all the way on the other side. And about 2.5 hours later, I heard, psst, psst, psst. And I looked, I recognized that psst. I looked in the back, the doors of the back of the banquet room that they had, and it was Diana, and she said, so I went out, and she said, okay, I've had enough. Let's go. Because it was 2.5 hours of all Hebrew. All liturgy, all Hebrew. Nothing was in English. And it was like 2.5 hours. Okay, honey, let's go. And so we left. So I said, this is what my childhood was like, going to service, to synagogue. And so she got the experience and she understood. That's not the way God wants us to be in our services. Sure, let's include some liturgy. Sure, let's read the Word of God. Let's sing the Word of God. Let's do these things. But we need to really let the Spirit flow and draw close to God in that way. With our hearts filled with the Spirit of God, liturgy and worship and praising, they fit in wonderfully together for the glory of God, for the glory of Messiah Yeshua. They all do fit together in a wonderful way. So we are here, and as we've mentioned a few times, the Book of Life, the Sefer HaChaim, we talk about and we look at, and I know it's said that after Yom Kippur, the Book of Life is sealed for a year. And it's not true because it's always open for each and every one of us. And as we know, it is revealed to us in the Brit Hadashah that it is the Lamb's Book of Life. Why? Because it's all about the blood, as I said last night. And so now it has become the Lamb's Book of Life. It always was the Lamb's Book of Life, because in the days of the temple, the lambs that were slaughtered, it was that lamb that gave atonement for sins. Well, now it is the Lamb, capital L, the Lamb's Book of Life, because it is the blood of Yeshua. It is the only way for us to have our name be written in the Book of Life. And so we don't have to wonder when, is it going to happen? Walk around on eggshells. We know that we know that we know. If we do it according to the way God has told us to, which is bring the blood into the sanctuary, put the blood on your heart, accept the one that God sent to die and bleed for our sins, then that puts us in the Book of Life. So it's no longer sealed up year after year. After Yom Kippur, it is open for each and every one of us, available for all of us, if we accept the shed blood of Messiah Yeshua. He is our Kippur. And it's not just the day, it's any day that Yeshua became our Kippur, our Kaban, the way that we could truly, truly draw close to the Lord. So if sometimes you feel, you know, I'd like to get closer to the Lord, if you have accepted Yeshua, He is drawing you close. He's just waiting for you to make the move and come close to Him, and He'll meet you there. He wants to be close to us. He loves us. He created us. And He said it was good. All of His creations were good. And we were the ones that He created last. I believe it was the greatest of His creations, and He loves us for that. And so today should be a day, we could be a little solemn, but let's in our hearts have joy in our hearts, knowing that our sins have been atoned for, that we are written in the Book of Life, in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we are written in, and nothing out there could take us and blot us out of that Book of Life. And so we just thank You, we praise You, Lord, for the opportunity that we have each and every year to come before You on this special day. And it's just a wonderful reminder to us of how important the blood atonement is and how marvelous it is that You sent Your only Son to die for our sins. We praise You and we thank You, Father. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you.